If you have your Bibles, I've got a very familiar scripture we want to read tonight in Luke chapter 19. And then we'll see how the Lord wants us to do here or how He wants us to go with this. And there's a lot in this passage of scripture. And a few things, I've got about four things maybe that I want to mention with the help of the Lord. And let's see, it's about 17 minutes or 8, and I was instructed just to preach about 30 minutes. And I don't know how that's going to go either. But Jane knows it tires me and gets me. I usually suffer no matter what I do the next day, but I'd rather suffer preaching God's Word than mowing the yard or anything else, amen. So I desire your prayers tonight, but notice in Luke 19, we might read verse 1 through 10 maybe, we'll see. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. I want to stop right there. I'm glad we're rich in God, aren't you? Now, He was rich in a different way, in a worldly way, but I'm glad I'm rich in the Lord, and I hope you are too. And he sought, the Bible says, to see Jesus, who He was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. And he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, now boy, we get a lot of murmuring going on sometimes with folks, do we not? A lot of murmuring, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. We should never get ourselves down because people talk about us or say something about us because we're trying to do something right for the glory of God. We get offended. And we get hurt, you know, and if we're not careful, we'll get mad and sin. But people's going to talk whether you do good or whether you do bad, you know, because that's just the way things are. So they all murmured, saying that he was going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. Abraham, Anthony. He said Abraham. He was singing about Abraham a while ago. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. It doesn't matter who people are in this life. That's why Jesus died. He died for their sins. And certainly, God knew we was going to need a Savior long before we was ever even considered of being into this world. You know, it's just wonderful to serve somebody that knows all the things that he knows. And know them years and centuries and whatever before that we was ever born into this life. So here in this passage of Scripture is one of the most outstanding, I think, conversations, if you will, in all the history of time. And it represents a triumph and seldom seen in even in that day and also in the day and time that you and I are living in today. So this man was a very wicked businessman. And he firmly believed in getting a dollar any way that he could get it. And he didn't care who he ripped off or done wrong to get the dollar. Now, there's people that way today. Amen. And there's people that says they're Christians that tries to operate that way. And I said, say, I don't know. I'm not their judge. But there's people that profess to be a child of God, and yet they'll go out and try to rip people off any way that they can do that. I don't know how you could find in that forgiving heart that we're supposed to have as a Christian and do that, but people seem to do that. So after his confrontation with the Lord Jesus Christ here, he became a real Christian, if you will. Amen. Amen. This man here in that sycamore tree that had done all the sinful activities that he'd done and earned all the money in an unlawful way that he earned it. And, you know, riches don't get you to heaven. Riches is not what puts you in hell. Amen. It's our sins that's not been forgiven and where the blood of Jesus Christ has not been applied to our lives. That's why folks go into hell. They're lost without God. Not because they were rich or poor or had done somebody wrong or something like that. But this man, after he met Jesus, he became a real, if you will, Christian. A genuine Christian. So, and what he done, and let me explain that just a little bit better to you tonight by saying that he was a real Christian when he met the Lord. I'm saying to you that he set everything right in his life that he had done wrong. People that come and profess salvation unto the Lord and do not set things right with God that they've done wrong, now I kind of doubt their salvation and where they're at with God. Do you not? So he set everything right. And people that he done wrong, he wanted to apologize and make it right. Money that he had taken, he not only wanted to give that money back, but he wanted to do it fourfold anything that he done. That tells me that that he was a real Christian by wanting to do things in that particular way. So I think there's about four things I want to give to you tonight that might help us explain these things tonight. So Zacchaeus had a great desire to meet Christ. And I don't know how it happened to you, but when I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to know I had a great desire to meet the Lord. I had a desire. I wanted to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Unless people come to a place in their life that they want to meet the Lord, they'll never be saved. Amen. You have to desire. You have to want. You have to be sick and tired of the life that you are living in, the sinful activity that day by day has gone by that you've been dwelling in or living in. You have to be sick of that and want a change to take place in your life. That change took place in my life this past June the 19th, 57 years ago. And it's more real tonight than it was then. I'm telling you, I've got a longing in my heart not only to serve God, but to see Him, amen, after a while. I want to see the Lord, the one that bled and died on the cross of Calvary. So, Zacchaeus had a great desire to meet Christ, and not only did he have a desire to do it, but he acted upon it. If you want to see Christ tonight through faith, you've got to act upon it. If you're lost without God and have never been saved by the blood of Jesus, you've got to act upon that. He saw in Luke 19:3, he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he had heard about Jesus. People hears about Jesus so many times, they live a lot of years in this world and they never come to find out who Jesus really is as far as knowing him in their lives. So he'd heard about him. He'd heard about the miracles. He'd heard about his compassion. He heard all these good things about the Lord Jesus Christ. So Christ, perhaps the major part of the day, he was the conversation, amen, of the things that he was doing, the miracles he was performing, the lives that he was changing. I'd say, no doubt in my heart, he was the conversation. Oh, it's so unfortunate today that there's so many things that conversation is about, but except the Lord. And that takes place a lot of times from people that says they're saved and belong to local churches. There's people that say they're saved that never even mention the Lord sometimes throughout the day. And you can talk to them and see them and talk to them, and they never say anything about whether God's being good to them or they're glad they're saved or they're fussing and growling and quarreling and going on about something else. We ought to be happy if we're saved. If being saved don't make us happy, there's nothing in this world. Let me tell you, there might be things this world will make you happy for a season of time, but I'm here to tell you the happiness in God is eternal. It's for everlasting to everlasting. Now you just pray and I may just preach here in a minute. I love to preach. It breaks my heart when I can't. I cry my eyes out sometimes because I've not been able to do as I'd like to do. We find over in John 12:12-13 that there's much people that went forth to meet the Lord and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Matthew 8:34 says, and behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. The whole city. If you want the city to come out this day and time, you better get you up a fun fest. And I ain't trying to be critical of the fun fest. But I'm here to tell you people will turn out for things like that when they won't turn out for anything else. That's exactly right. Amen. They'll take their canes or they'll ride their little carts or get on their crutches and go. But, you know, you can't get them to the house of the Lord or anything else. Yeah, holler amen every once in a while. I'm in the book and I know that. Some praise him and some send him away. They did then and they do now. Now the second thing I want to mention to you tonight with the help of the Lord, Zacchaeus had many difficulties. He had many, many difficulties. A lot of people in this life have a lot of difficulties. And I'm talking about people that's in sin. They have a lot of difficulties. But Zacchaeus overcame every one of them. And that's what is important. I had some difficulties in my life before I was saved. And thank God I overcame them. And when I did, I was born again. And I want you to know this, I know I was saved. I have not guessed about it or wondered about it. I don't go to bed at night and cry and grieve and wonder if I'm saved or hope I'm saved. I don't even think about the words of hope I'm saved. I know I've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And heaven's going to be my home. Amen. He was a chief, the Bible said. He was the chief. He was the main one. He was the chief among the publicans in Luke 19:2. And I think, in my opinion, that was the worst job of all. Amen. The worst of all. He was rich. Amen. He was rich. He was selling his soul for honor and for money and all of that. The Bible said he was just little in stature in Luke 19:3. So this, if you will, was a physical handicap in certain things that he had there, but he still made his way up that tree, didn't he? And do you know what? When God gets to dealing with people, they'll do things that they never thought they could do. Amen. And you know, people will sit back, maybe somewhere in the congregation when they're lost without God, and they'll think, I can't walk down that aisle and in front of those people and give my life to the Lord. Lord, look at the people that are here that's going to see me, or what they're going to think. Whenever God really gets a hold of you, listen, I don't even remember getting up out of the chair, amen, in that old-fashioned tent revival, June the 19th, 1959. I don't remember going down that sawdust trail. All I remember is getting up off of an old homemade altar and knowing that I'd been saved with the blood. Hallelujah to God. When the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, even though you may be lost in your sins, when you repent, you're anew. You're changed. Everything is different in your heart and your life. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad, really, really glad that you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ? Can I hear it tonight? Well, we're not at a ball game, because I can't hardly hear you. You can hear them from miles, amen, at the racetrack and the ball games, but I declare it's hard to hear us at church. Now, preacher, you done messed up. I've been messing up for years. That's because I've been preaching for years, and I didn't start preaching to try to make people happy. I try to help people. All right. So, he was physically handicapped, if you will. So, there's a multitude of people that was in his way. Not just a few like us, as I was talking about a while ago. There was a multitude of people that was in his way. And he couldn't see Jesus for the press. And there's a lot of people, they're trying to see the Lord, but they can't see him for this thing over here that's in their life. And they can't see him for this thing over in life. So, you know, you have to get yourself in a certain position to where you can see the Lord. Amen? Yeah. And I tell you what, I got in a position on that altar that night that I saw the Lord. And when I left there, I left with him. And he left with me. And he's been with me all down through the ages of time. Praise the good Lord. Now, third thing I want to mention to you, Zacchaeus heard a great call, and he responded promptly. He made haste, and he came down and received him joyfully, Luke 19:6. It's been said that procrastination is a thief of time. When I was in Florida, think about the word procrastination for just a moment, if you will. And there's a lot of that that's in a lot of our lives. A lot of people procrastinate, and they put off and doing a lot of things, you know. But when I was in Florida, I worked for a very large RV dealership down there. We had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of RV campers and things, and I worked for that dealership. And we were going to have a big sale in January in Tampa, Florida, and we were having this big sales meeting. And all of that, and the manager had been talking over a period of a few days about procrastination. And of course, some of the people would put off doing things that he would ask them to do. And I'd been reading my Bible, and I'd been studying during that time. And I came back to that sales meeting that morning, and he was talking. He said, does anybody else have anything to say? I said, yeah, I've got something I want to say. I said, you're talking about procrastination. I said, I was just reading the Word of God a couple of days ago and praying and talking to Him. And I said, I got to thinking about procrastination. Now listen to me. Procrastination is suicide to our motivation. That just came to me that day while I was reading and praying. It's amazing sometimes, Brother Steve, what'll just come to you when you're reading and praying in the Word of God. Procrastination is suicide to your motivation. It'll keep you from motivating yourself. It's death to it. So, this man here He decided he wasn't going to procrastinate anymore. He got motivated. And by getting motivated, he saw Jesus. Amen. He motivated. He didn't let the crowd put him off until the crowd got narrowed down to a few more people. He worked his way around that little dude dead until he got up on that tree to where he was determined. And listen, if you're lost without God, you need to determine in your life that you want to see Jesus, that you do not want to go to hell, that you want to go to heaven. Hallelujah. Where you live forever. Live forever. I've got far more family over there than I do over here. All right. So, in Hebrews 3 and 7 and 8, the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will, hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Don't harden your heart. Genesis 22 and 3, the Bible says, God called upon Abraham to slay Isaac, his son of promise. And Abraham arose. He rose up early in the morning, and he went to a place which God had told him. God told him to go to that place. Amen. Whatever God tells you to do, saved or lost, you need to do it. God will never, ever tell you to do something that's wrong. He'll never tell you to do something that's wrong. He has never, in all the years that I've been a Christian, He has never one time ever led me the wrong direction. Every path that He's ever showed me to walk in has been the straight and the narrow path. Not the broad one that leads down to destruction, but the narrow path that leads down to life everlasting. I want to live forever one of these days, don't you? I want to lose this old sinful, sick body and give me a new one. Hallelujah. Brother Glenn Mullins, he said, I'll throw these old false teeth away and I'll throw these glasses away. And he was as bald as I am. And he said, I'll get me a real set of hair. Well, I don't care if I'm bald over there, if I've got hair, I just want to be there. Why do you want to be there? Because the Savior of the world that bled and died for Larry Winkle's sins. Oh, I want to see Him. I want to kiss His feet, and I want to thank Him for everything He done, for giving me this peace and the joy that I've had what time I've been in this world. Jane, you got your driver's license with you. You may need to carry me and drive me to the house. God, in Romans 6 and 23, God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Christian death, I believe, is not a state, but it's a change from death to life. Now, the wind may go out of this body and his heart may stop, and they may not get a pulse one of these days. And they may bring me right around up here, and you may come by and say howdy, and I may not say nothing back to you. More than likely won't. But when I was born again, I died then. That's when I died. I died out to sin. And I become new, alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you did too if you've been born again. You don't have to die no more. Amen. You've already died if you died out to sin. Hallelujah. We're just going to go through the emotions of the change. What change, preacher? There's going to be a glory. I said a glory. That body given to the children of God. Hallelujah. I may go up through the roof here in a minute. Whoopee.
Praise the name of Jesus Christ that bled and died for the sins of the world. If you're lost, give your life to Jesus. It's the best life you've ever lived or ever will live. Whee! Well, glory to God. I'm just about done. The last thing I want to mention to us is this. I believe He frees us from hell. When you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you do not have to go to hell anymore. You're well on your way before you have the blood applied. But when that blood is applied, you're on your way to glory. What I need to do, preacher, live it the very best of your ability according to what the Word of God says you should. Hallelujah. Frees us from hell. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 10, the scripture declares that Jesus has delivered us from the wrath to come. There's just a few things we ain't going to have to experience and go through before we get out of this old world. Amen? Woo! Last scripture I want to share with you is Revelation 1:18, chapter 1, verse 18. The Bible says here, the Lord said, I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. That's right. And have the keys of hell and death. Amen. And you know what? One of these days, God's just going to stand there before the devil, and He's going to have them keys, and I believe He'll shake them in His face. Hallelujah to God. Is this the first time anybody's ever heard me when I've stood here? Anybody that's this the first time? Has everybody heard me sometime or another? First time you didn't know it was this crazy, did you? Whew. Trying to find a stopping place. Glory to God. Isn't it wonderful just to know while you're awake, you're asleep, that you're ready to meet Him? You know, it could be that I may be a preaching one of these days, and could happen before I sit down tonight that the Lord would call. Maybe you'll be singing one of them pretty songs you sing when the Lord calls. We don't know. I believe Brother Steve was talking, and I'm trying to come to a close here, but he was talking tonight in the service and talking about no promise of tomorrow. Automatically, my mind went to the Word of God, Proverbs 27 and 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. If you're lost without Him, if you don't know Him in the free pardon of sin, this would be the best time of your life to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not sorry that I gave my life to the Lord. And I wasn't going as a young person to a lot of worldly activities like a lot of others was, because I was saved when I was 11 years old. I was preaching when I was 18 years old. Oh, hallelujah. If we as Christians ain't where we need to be somewhere where we can see the Lord so He can show us how to follow Him. If you need to climb a sycamore tree, climb one. Don't let anything get in your way. Don't let nobody get in your way, being saved or just serving God to the fullest. Don't let nothing get in your way. Don't let nothing hinder you. Because I'm going to say something to you. Time is swiftly passing by. It was just a few days ago in my mind that I was just a little young boy. And here I am over 68 years old. Where in the world did time go, Ralph? Where did it go? What happened to it? Time gets by. You These little boys ain't going to always be little boys, little children. If time keeps going, they're going to be in this old wicked world, and they're going to be grown men. These little girls are going to be grown women. Well, if we don't teach them, who's going to? Let us stand, if you will. You got a song ready? I hope I said something to help somebody. And it, you know, I don't know your condition spiritually. I didn't know if anybody was saved or lost was going to be here tonight. As far as being lost, I didn't know. Whether that's what I felt like preaching. I'd been reading on it for a little while anyway, and doing some studying, and that's just kind of been pressing, and it just kind of bared on me to bring that to you tonight with the help of the Lord. I certainly can't do anything without Him. Never have. As I said earlier, I don't want to. But if you're here, and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, why don't you just determine right now to just walk yourself down this aisle and this altar, and you'll find that there'll be somebody there to pray with you and to lead you to the Lord.